This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, happy Monday and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the GOP Super Saturday presidential primary didn't turn out the way pollsters and pundits had predicted. Instead of Donald Trump running away with Saturday's election, in the end, only 234 votes separated Trump and Senator Cruz in the four states in which they had contest. Are we looking at a new race? Red State's Leon Wolf is here with an answer. Former GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney was on Fox News Sunday, continuing to beat the drum against Donald Trump. Does Romney's opposition help or does it hurt Trump? We'll talk about that here on Washington Watch. And of all places, the governor of Georgia, Nathan Deal, has reverted back apparently to his talking points of his former Democratic Party on the issue of religious liberty. Is there enough support for religious liberty in Georgia to push past the governor? Congressman Doug Collins is here for that discussion. The website, TonyPerkins.com, you can find out more about today's guest, our topics. Also still up on the website is the petition for the Veterans Affairs. We talked about that last week. General Boykin has that petition. He's going to take it to the VA. It's in regards to the Bible at the POW-MIA display at a VA clinic in Akron, Ohio. Add your voice to it. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. One thing, when we ask you to sign these petitions, we deliver them, and it makes a difference. Ask Chaplain Wes Motter, who's still in the Navy, after you signed a petition on his behalf. Again, the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find all that right there. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with me, at T. Perkins. In a little bit later, we'll open up the phone lines. Go ahead, if you're new to Washington Watch, jot down this number, 866-372-7234. All right, this past Saturday, more GOP delegates were up for grabs in the contest to capture the Republican nomination for president. Now, the current delegate count after Saturday has Donald Trump leading with 382, followed relatively closely by Senator Ted Cruz at 300. Senator Marco Rubio has 128. Governor John Kasich of Ohio has 35. Now, Trump continued to lead. However, Saturday's results with Cruz running first in the weekend contest with at least 69 delegates, Trump 53 and Rubio 41. So, in delegate count, Cruz won the weekend. Now, this would suggest, because it's not what was what the pundits were saying going into the weekend, this would suggest that the tide could be turning. Now, as I said, polling had showed Donald Trump most likely winning all four states up for grabs Saturday, but Senator Cruz was able to take both Maine and Kansas and nearly took Kentucky and Louisiana. Now, in Louisiana, my home state, he effectively split the delegates with Donald Trump, 18 each. But there's still more. There are also five at-large delegates, which have not declared in Louisiana. Could be interesting to see what happens come March 15th as Ohio and Florida are both winner-take-all states. Now, one writer believes it's time for conservatives to rally around one candidate. Joining me now with his analysis on this and to highlight his latest article is the managing editor of Red State, Leon Wolf. Leon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me on the program.
All right. You are proposing after Saturday's results, which caught a lot of people by surprise, that it's time to unite behind a particular candidate. Who is that candidate and why?
I think that really, if you value at all the idea that Donald Trump should not be the Republican nominee for president, that it's probably time for everybody to get behind Ted Cruz. And I think that the answer really can be found in a couple of different things. Number one is that
Leon, let me stop you there for just a moment, because previously had Red State, had you not called on people to unite behind Rubio?
I had. And a couple of weeks ago, I looked at, you know, the math, in particular the exit polling of the first four races, and concluded that Rubio was probably the better guy to take on Trump. And the reason for that is it's fairly simple, and it is that Cruz, at least up until that point, had really only experienced success with voters who identified as either evangelical Christian or very conservative. And in all other categories, he lost to Donald Trump heads up, and in fact also lost to Marco Rubio. And my point was is that once you get beyond Super Tuesday, if you look at the math, if you look at the math, you know, what Cruz basically needed, if his current exit polling had continued, at least what he had seen in the first four races, he needed states that only had 60% of voters who were either evangelical or very conservative in order to have a reasonable shot at beating Donald Trump. And there just weren't many of those states left on the map after Super Tuesday. What we saw on Saturday was a couple of different factors that really changed that equation. Number one, of course, we had the surprise win in Maine, which was something that almost no one was predicting or saw. We saw him increase his strength with other categories of voters in both Kansas and Louisiana and Kentucky. So that's number two. And number three, we also saw it's not so much the strength of Cruz, although that was surprising and pleasantly surprising if you're a Cruz fan. It was the weakness of Rubio in a lot of those categories. A lot of the categories where he was previously showing strength, he seems to have really collapsed a lot in his support. And so really, if you look at it right now, both in terms of the delegate math, it becomes almost impossible for Rubio to win going forward, even if he wins Florida. But also, it kind of illustrates that more or less you can see the Rubio campaign collapsing a little bit going forward and not really fulfilling the promise that they had earlier on in the campaign season.
So, Leon, what changed? What's the dynamic that took place here that changed these polling or these voting patterns of people in the various states?
I think there's a number of factors. I think, for one thing, Rubio is has not been on the air as much, and I think that one of the consequences, or one of the reasons for that, rather, is that he is running lower on money. I believe that he spent less than $1 million on Super Tuesday advertising altogether, whereas Cruz spent substantially more in national advertising on that day and leading up to that day, which could have helped his exposure. But I think the more salient thing is that, you know, Rubio, I think, may have done the country as a whole a favor in terms of basically exposing Donald Trump's vanity. I think that that's his one weak point, is that if you pick at his personal vanity, he comes unraveled in a way that he doesn't when you pick at his, you know, past support for liberal candidates or his flexibility on positions. And I think that Rubio really did Ted Cruz a favor by doing that and by going after him in a very direct and quite frankly, at times vulgar way. But I don't think that he, in the process, did himself any favors.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you that. He may have exposed Donald Trump, but in the process, he kind of took himself out, did he not?
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing that happened to Chris Christie in New Hampshire. You remember that Chris Christie's goal in New Hampshire was to take out Marco Rubio, which he did in that debate by being, you know, very direct and kind of a jerk with him, as a matter of fact. But while Christie may have succeeded in knocking Rubio down several pegs, he did not succeed in helping himself and, in fact, probably hurt himself. And so the voters, while negative advertising works in a sense in terms of bringing candidates down, it also has somewhat of a negative effect on the person who launches the negative ad as a negative campaign. And I think that that's to a large degree what's happened with Rubio. It's allowed Cruz to be the kind of adult in the conversation, and you saw that dynamic play out at the debate last Thursday night as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a suicide bomber. It doesn't work out so well for the bomber. I mean, that's
right.
In effect, I think it has exposed, but it also, you're absolutely right. I think it turned people away from Rubio, and his performance, I think, declined as a result of getting kind of in the gutter in this spat with Donald Trump. Leon, where do we go from here? What do we see shaking out from here? Is this a new race now after these unexpected wins by Cruz?
Well, we're going to see tomorrow, right? So we have another big contest tomorrow. We have, you know, Idaho and Michigan and Mississippi on tap. I think the key state of those three, at least from Rubio versus Cruz perspective, is probably going to be Michigan. Because, as you know, the argument that I made and a lot of Rubio people have been making is that Michigan is the sort of state that Rubio would be expected to perform better than Ted Cruz in. There are much fewer evangelicals in Michigan. There are many more moderate voters. And the polling right now suggests that actually Cruz is creating distance between himself and Rubio in Michigan. So if Cruz can continue his momentum and really essentially double up Rubio or worse, you know, like he did in Maine, which is what the polls suggest, that will put a very serious dent in Rubio's viability going forward. And his argument for, you know, this is what he's been saying personally, his campaigns have been saying, the map favors us going forward. Well, this is one of those states that is on the map that's supposed to favor them going forward. And if he gets blown out by Ted Cruz and John Kasich in Michigan, it's going to be hard for him to make his pitch to the voters and to the donors that he needs to keep the lights on in his campaign going forward. So that's kind of the one that I'm looking at most closely. I think that Cruz will probably win Idaho. I think that you'll probably find more or less a rematch of Louisiana and Mississippi. I think that Trump and Cruz will be battling it out for first, with Trump probably pulling off somewhere between a 5- and a 6-point win. But Michigan is going to be the one, I think, that we're all going to have our eyes on.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Leon Wolf, my guest. He is the managing editor of Red State. So, Leon, when you talk about Marco Rubio stepping out of the race and conservatives unifying behind Ted Cruz, there has been an announcement that there are at least 4 senators now that are going to endorse Ted Cruz this week at some point. I don't know what time that will be announced, but that's a pretty significant shift in that most of the senators had stepped back and now they're stepping forward. It does appear that the momentum could be toward rallying around Senator Cruz.
Yeah, and I think that the importance of that really cannot be overstated, because Ted Cruz's whole shtick, and I don't mean to imply that it's insincere, but his whole basic rise to stardom in the conservative movement has been from the fact that since the day he set foot in the Senate, he has been poking his fellow Republican senators in the eye and not allowing them to essentially get away with a lot of the shenanigans that they had in the past of really pretending to be on the side of conservatives, but not. So, to see that his colleagues, and I think that Donald Trump is right, that he is not particularly well-liked in the Senate by a lot of the people who are in the Senate, to see them rally around him would be a very monumental thing, if only to illustrate the degree to which people really are still resistant to the idea of President Trump. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the way that the Republican race has gone in the past, at this point, if any previous race, it's already been over. By the time Super Tuesday's over, it's over.
Right.
And we pretty much get to the point where we accept whoever wins Super Tuesday is going to be the nominee. Let's all collect together and move on. The fact that we still have a live race at this point indicates that Trump faces a more serious and sincere resistance than any Republican frontrunner has to this point. And Senator Gittingham Cruz camp really enforces that.
Yeah, I think you're right. Leon Wolf, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your analysis of where things stand in the GOP presidential election. All right, that's Leon Wolf with Red State. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, the Democrats had their elections over the primary elections over the weekend in 4 states as well. And Bernie Sanders won 3, Hillary won only 1. That was Louisiana, actually. However, they came out pretty much split on the delegates for the weekend, 64 for Sanders and 62 for Clinton. All right, when we come back, we're going to be talking about Georgia and religious liberty. There's an effort there in the state legislature to try to protect individuals who are losing their religious freedom, but yet the governor seems to be on the wrong side. We're going to talk about that when we return with Congressman Doug Collins. Don't go away. We're right back after this.
What does it mean to be equal? According to the dictionary, equal means the same for each person. Last year, the so-called Equality Act was introduced in Congress by adding sexual orientation and gender identity as protected categories under federal civil rights law. This act would give special perks to some people just because they identify as homosexual or transgender. It's important to remember that many bills introduced in Congress have positive-sounding titles that hide their true agendas. The Equality Act is a perfect example. This bill puts people who live out their faith on unequal footing under the law. It imposes sexual orientation and gender identity provisions on religious schools and universities, rejects the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and so much more. FRC's new publication on this legislation is a brief summary of the dangers this bill poses towards those who hold a biblical view of marriage and the family. Visit frc.org/equalityact to learn more.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber, president, co-founder of 8 Days of Hope. 8 Days of Hope was meant to be a one-time trip to Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina. And then God got involved. And since then, we have been to 9 different states, rebuilt 1,700 homes, and it's all because we love Jesus. God tells us to love Him and love others. And that's what we do, either through 8 Days of Hope or a new ministry called Hope Reigns. Hope Reigns goes immediately after disaster, a tornado, a flood, a fire, a snowstorm. But what we notice with disasters is right after disaster, there's so many ministry opportunities. We've already been to New York, Illinois, Tennessee, Texas. So if someone's interested in 8 Days of Hope or Hope Reigns, the best place to go is our website, 8daysofhope.com. And even though we might not have an event planned the day you go to the website, if you give us your email address on our website, we'll be able to contact you about future events.
Tony Perkins, and you're listening to Washington Watch. Glad to have you along on this Monday afternoon. Hope you had a great weekend. We had our election in Louisiana, and it turned out pretty interesting. Still not over. We have our state Republican convention next week to decide some of the issues relating to the delegates. But anyway, a lot closer than was anticipated. By the way, let me just give a little disclaimer here. Washington Watch and its related affiliates do not support or oppose any presidential candidates. Any endorsements made are strictly in a personal capacity. The best way to keep up with my thoughts on the presidential elections, you go to my Facebook page or keep up with me on Twitter. In fact, I had a CNN interview that I did Friday night from an event in South Louisiana. It's up on my Facebook page if you want to take a look at that. Let me remind you before we go to our next guest, those of you living in Hawaii, Idaho, Michigan, and Mississippi, tomorrow is your opportunity to cast a vote in the Republican presidential primary. If you're a Democrat, Michigan is also up for you tomorrow, as well as Mississippi. And I would encourage you to go and to vote your biblical values, right? Maybe later I'll go into the criteria that we've talked about many times, but go vote. Be involved. All right? That's all I'm going to say. All right. Georgia Governor Nathan Deal is a Republican, but he used to be a Democrat. Not completely unheard of in the South. And last week, though, it looks like he may be reverting back to his Democratic roots. The longtime congressman turned governor sounded a lot like his old party last week when he lashed out at conservatives in the state legislature for wanting to stop the wave of LGBT-inspired persecution against Christians. For months, Georgians have been trying to find a path forward with some kind of legislation that would stop the government from punishing men and women of faith who believe differently about marriage than these 5 activists on the Supreme Court. Now, Governor Deal tried to argue that Jesus himself would have fought against the bill. Quote, "If you were to apply those standards to the teaching of Jesus, I don't think they fit," end quote. What doesn't fit? What doesn't fit is his stance against the bill that protects citizens of faith in his state from being forced to violate their deeply held beliefs, biblical, orthodox beliefs. We're simply trying to disarm the government from its ability to punish people for not embracing the redefinition of marriage. Joining me now with his reaction is a former pastor and current representative from the 9th Congressional District of Georgia. He's also a military chaplain, Congressman Doug Collins. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always good to be with you.
A little surprised by this, Doug, because, Georgia, a lot like Louisiana, pretty strong when it comes to traditional values and religious freedom.
Well, I think it's there's still days left, and it was, I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts. My prayer is, in talking to, my friends, I used to be in the legislature. I followed it to some extent. I think you're going to hopefully find a solution there. That is my prayer, and I think we'll find a solution that works and does protect those values. And, just to show you, Tony, not only in the state of Georgia, but I just got off earlier today having to deal with, I've been focused on religious liberties on the national level, and I came out fairly strong, really strong against a place where we had a Bible removed from a VA clinic on a POW/MIA
right.
Display. And I've been dealing with that day. Mickey Weinstein, has went off his, he's went just nuts about this and calling me all kinds of names. And as I told somebody earlier today, I said, well, if that's all that he can do is call me names, again, the most intolerant people are the, quote, most tolerant in the world. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. We just need to fight and stand up for our beliefs. And I think that's what I'm going to continue to do. And like I said, it's just amazing, how you get into some of these discussions right now.
Well, I want to ask you about that in just in a moment, because I had General Boykin on last week. We were talking about the VA, the display there in Akron, Ohio. In fact, we've got a petition up on our website trying to encourage people to weigh in on that. So I want to ask you about that in a moment. But let me ask you, is Governor Deal out of step with where most Georgians are on this issue of religious freedom?
I think at this point in time, they're trying to do a balancing act. I think most of the folks down here want to find a solution that works and balances and protects those religious freedoms. So that is my hope. I did not, you had mentioned this statement from last week. I did not actually catch the statement from last week, so I can't comment on what he said. I know what you said, and I think the interesting statement there would be, let's look toward making a positive solution. There's still about 7-8 days left in the session down in Georgia, and that would be my hope. And I'll just at that point I'll have to leave it because I didn't catch those remarks.
You should look at I appreciate that. I wouldn't comment unless I had seen the remarks myself. That's wise, but I look at them because it's always puzzling to me how those that will try to use scripture to use it against scripture. It's quite fascinating. But anyway, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you quickly before we run out of time, any new information on the VA clinic there in Akron, Ohio, and this Bible being removed from that POW/MIA display?
No, we haven't. But I will say this, and I'll let your listeners know, because it looks like, you and I have talked about this a lot, and I've been out front and Mr. Weinstein is not like me in the past a lot, and that's fine. I'll happily stand for religious freedom if he's going to be against me. But he is. They pulled out all the stops on this one, and we got a couple of letter writing from a former retired lieutenant colonel, and like I said, Mickey is calling me names. So undoubtedly, we struck a nerve, and that's what we need to do. We need to prick the consciousness of these folks, and we need to continue to stand for just a religious freedom. And I think to have a misconception that this country was not, founded on a government that forced upon religion, but it also did not, it was enforcement that we could have freedom of religion. And I'm so tired of the left telling me that I can't do that.
Right, absolutely. Well, for one, and I know there are many others, Congressman, we're grateful that you are standing up for religious freedom. Doug, thanks so much for joining us today.
Tony, it's always good to be with you. Take care.
All right. Congressman Doug Collins from Georgia represents the 9th Congressional District. And as I mentioned, he's also served as a chaplain in the Air Force. And so he understands these issues, and he's also working on these issues, not just talking about them. He's actually working on them. If you get a chance, go to his website. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over, and send him a note of encouragement. Tell him thanks for fighting for religious freedom. All right, when we come back, Mitt Romney's on the airwaves this weekend going after Donald Trump. Does it help or does it hurt? We'll talk about that here on Washington Watch when we return.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, one of the things we're going to be looking at this week more than anything else is probably going to be oil once again. The big thing from an economic data standpoint, as far as I'm concerned, are going to be import-export prices. It's going to give us a little bit of a glimpse of deflation or inflation numbers, depending on how you want to look at that. And crude inventories, that'll be an interesting number to see this Wednesday. So back to oil, the fact of the matter is, when we look at the news beginning this week, we are seeing this optimism. Even the headlines are saying hopes, the key word hopes, that oil demand is going to pick up and in fact is picking up, along with hopes that production is going to continue to slow somewhat. So basically, it's an oil issue. Right now, oil is looking good in trading for the beginning of the week, barring any geopolitical events that might enter into the picture. But it's interesting because China's demand forecast is way down, and they indicated growth of 6.5% to 7%. Well, that would be great for America, or any other country for that matter. But for China, that's actually a significant slowdown. So I'm not sure where the hopes for demand is coming from and the hopes for lack of production is coming. But nonetheless, all eyes once again on oil. Oh, and one other thing, earnings. Earnings still aren't looking too good as they continue to come in for the fourth quarter.
Experience Dan Celia in person. Find a faith, family, and finance town hall meeting or seminar near you at afafoundation.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Welcome back. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at tperkins. All right, over the weekend, actually yesterday, Nancy Reagan passed away. She was 94 years old. And there are a lot of folks that are, praising her now. She was kind of vilified by the left when Ronald Reagan was in the White House. In fact, Gary Bauer, my friend who used to be president of the Family Research Council but served in the Reagan administration, he wrote about it today. He said her Just Say No anti-drug crusade was mocked by comedians and commentators. But from 1982 to 1992, drug abuse among American youth fell 50%. That's a far cry from the left's cultural message today, which is just say yes to virtually everything, end quote. Yeah, it is a contrast. When you look, Nancy Reagan was just say no to drugs, and Michelle Obama is, just say no to cookies on your school lunch menu. I mean, that's what she's been focused on. Big difference, I think. Also, yesterday, this name may not sound familiar to you, but Jerry Bridges passed away. He was 86 years old, and he... I never actually met Mr. Bridges. But he had an impact on a lot of people as a result of his work at The Navigators. But he was an author, a prolific author. And one of the books that he wrote, which I picked up probably 30 years ago, was The Pursuit of Holiness. Now, not many books I read more than once. I move on. But this is a book that I've read many, many times. And in fact, I still get copies of this and give this out to our interns. Jerry Bridges had an impact by faithfully living the truth of Scripture and sharing that truth with others. He served in various capacities with the Navigators and remained faithful to his call to God. 86 years old, passed away yesterday in Colorado Springs. All right. And by the way, I would just encourage you, if you've never read the book, you can still get it. It's still in print, The Pursuit of Holiness. It is well worth the read. Also, yesterday, a pastor in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, was shot 6 times after service. Now, this was the same pastor that opened a Ted Cruz rally in prayer the day before. Now, the police have no idea if the two events are connected, but it certainly appears to be odd. Despite taking over 6 shots to the head, lungs, hip, and shoulder, Pastor Tim Remington, his survival is really the stuff of miracles, doctors say. With the bullet stopping short of the brain and the spinal cord, the father of 4 is expected to make a full recovery. Pastor Tim Remington in Idaho, be praying for him. All right, a little bit. I'm going to open up the phone lines. I want to, when we come back in the next segment, this is what I want to do. We've seen in the Republican presidential primary significant increase in the turnout. Now, Donald Trump is claiming credit for that, and you know, there's no question he's had an impact on it. But we've seen a very significant impact in the increase, I should say, in the turnout of GOP voters, and a pretty significant increase of self-described evangelical voters over what we saw 4 years ago. Not the same in the Democratic Party. Their numbers are actually declining. But here's my question, all right? If you're someone who didn't vote 4 years ago, but you did vote in one of these primaries, or you plan to vote, I'd like to hear from you. I'm curious as to why. What prompted you to change? You know, what prompted you to get involved and to vote in this election cycle? All right, I'm curious, and I think our listeners would be curious. If you didn't vote 4 years ago in the presidential election, but you did vote in this primary, and you're going to, I want to hear from you. That's when we come back here at the number 866-372-7234. Also, I want to, I don't think I have time now, but when we come back, I'm gonna take this clip of Mitt Romney, who was on Fox News Sunday, he's been beating the drum against Donald Trump. And I'm not sure if that's hurting Donald Trump. It could very well be helping him. All right. This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and you are listening as a part of the Washington Watch audience. And we're grateful for that. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Twitter, @TPerkins. When we come back, we're going to be taking your phone calls, 866-372-7234. If you did not vote 4 years ago, but you have, or you plan to, why? What's changed? I want to know your thoughts on that. All right, folks, don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch in just a moment.
To visit the Lincoln Memorial, that is an awe-inspiring moment on our tour of Washington, D.C., the Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, and Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. As you look up at the statue of Abraham Lincoln, you turn around and you look back towards the Washington Monument and the United States Capitol down the Washington Mall. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's just one visit on one day in our tour of our nation's capital. We call it a spiritual heritage tour. We're going there. We're also going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip that's back-to-back. You can do one or you can do both. for all the information on these Spiritual Heritage Tours in June and September, visit spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information.
Friendships is offering scholarships to young adults 18 to 25 who are interested in becoming certified in relief missions. This is a two-year intensive training program with an additional year as an intern with Friendships. Training includes discipleship, local missions, and outreaches. Bible and ministry learned in the first 2 years will be tested and put into practice. Go to friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
It's 2 a.m. and Tommy's raspy cough has become a horrible sounding bark. You can go rushing into the night with your little one for an ER visit, or you can teleconference with a board-certified pediatrician to evaluate Tommy, give you advice, and write a prescription if necessary. MD Live is a network of board-certified physicians available anytime and anywhere. Find out about MD Live at hcbenefits.com. hcbenefits.com.
Every year it arrives, the big envelope. You know, the one telling you how much more you'll be paying for healthcare. Well, what if this year you found a program where your costs were less, much less? If you're a Christian, that's the beauty of MediShare. It's not insurance. It's a nationwide community of believers who share each other's medical bills. It's about half the cost of healthcare insurance programs, and it's fully acceptable under the law. Best of all, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare really is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
You're listening to Washington Watch. Welcome back. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. The phone number, 866-372-7234. The phone lines are lit up. And this is my question. If you didn't vote 4 years ago, but you have voted this time in the presidential primary, or you plan to, I don't know what changed. Why? What brought you off the sidelines onto the field? We're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, I want to play this clip. This was Mitt Romney yesterday on Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace, you know, talking about his effort to go after Donald Trump.
I take a closer look at the other guys in the race.
How about the argument? And again, we heard this from Rush. This is the establishment basically trying to maintain control of a guy and push back a guy that they wouldn't be able to control.
Well, you can't control Ted Cruz, for instance. No one has suggested you could do that. And Marco Rubio, everybody tried to stop Marco Rubio from going against a sitting Republican governor in Florida. He did it anyway and won. Establishment suggests that there must be some Wizard of Oz somewhere pulling the strings. That's not the way it works. In the final analysis, I think you're gonna see one of the three. And right now, it looks like Ted Cruz, which will emerge as the strongest contender. But, you know, that can change. We've seen a lot of surprises in this campaign. One of those three I'm going to endorse before the convention. And I'm sure hopeful that I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure one of those three is our nominee.
All right. So there's maybe there's not one guy behind the curtain pulling the strings. But there is an establishment that people are fed up with the establishment. And look, I don't throw anything at the radio, but you know, I like Mitt Romney. He's a nice guy. He really is a very decent man. I did not support him in the primary last time. I personally supported Rick Santorum and helped Santorum. In the general election, I did help Mitt Romney, and I believed what Mitt Romney had to say, and I knew he would be better than Barack Obama. And if you don't agree with me on that, then you're not dealing in reality. But I do not think that Mitt Romney coming out against Donald Trump is going to hurt Donald Trump. I think it's going to help him. Mitt Romney is not the person to carry that message because he is seen as being a part of the establishment. So, anyway, it is what it is. He's going to endorse someone. I'm not sure if that's going to be helpful. Anyway, all right, I'm going to go to the phones because this is the question we have. We've seen a much stronger turnout among Republican voters in this election year. If you're someone who didn't vote 4 years ago, but you did this year, or you plan to, I want to know why. And we're going to first go to Mississippi, which, by the way, is voting tomorrow. If you're in Mississippi, make your plans now. Betsy is online. Betsy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much, Tony. I'm calling because listening to your question, yes, I'm one of those that was never involved with politics. I grew up in church, but never saw politics as important. Mm-hmm. And in the last couple years, looking back at my childhood, comparing to what we're going through here, I feel that they are tying our hands, and I don't feel that free anymore. As a Christian, I have to be concerned of what I say, what I do at work, and I work with the federal system, so I have to, follow some rules. And I do not, it's like they're telling us to close our mouths, shut our mouths, and it's mm-hmm. not as free anymore. Concern about my children also, how in the last 4 years it has been crazy in school, how it has been growing the homosexuality topics, the sexual, how my kids topics. I have to be more aware in teaching them because mm-hmm. they're in the public school. So it's a lot of concern. I have to really talk with pastors and all that and have them in clubs from church and guide them with their relationships. It's not that innocent childhood anymore.
Betsy, let me ask you. So you're seeing now the connection between the folks that are in public office and the policies that are impacting your family and your freedoms. Is that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I'm hearing you say.
That's exactly what I feel, what I see. My children do see it. They have to be, and they are aware. I'm making them aware. There's conversation at home. And the last 4 years, with that, seeing that and listening to AFR, I used to just listen to music, but the last years I've just listened to the programs, to you, when I get off work, San Diego's in the morning, all the programs and, until 6, everything that I can learn. And I've learned so much about how, it has been impacting, the politics have been impacting my life, as my family. And they're trying to, kind of control us. And we have to do something. And I tell my kids, you have to do something. You have to make the difference in your school. And we tell the stories of everything that I've listened and how they have to speak up for this generation. We have to do it. So that's why I'm voting. My husband is voting. We have we're working on registering and all that. To make sure we vote, and it's important. My husband is registered to vote, and I'm trying to control him, make sure you make a wise, God-given decision, because this will make an impact in our lives and my children.
Well, Betsy, thank you so much for calling and sharing, because I think you are representative of a number of Christians out there, which explains the increase in the number of evangelical voters, that we're living our lives trying to raise our kids, take care of things. But we have seen, and I'm speaking in the universal we as evangelicals, we've seen the impact that government is having upon our freedoms and our families. And they're turning out. They're responding. Betsy, thank you for responding and being a part of helping try to get this nation back on the right track. By the way, folks, if you live in Mississippi tomorrow and you're going to be voting, or you're in Michigan, or you are in Hawaii or Idaho, go to our website, TonyPerkins.com. You can get the voter guide. You can see where the candidates stand on the issue. If you're in Hawaii and you want to know more about the election, well, I would say I'd fly out there and explain it to you, but I don't think I have time to get there before the primary tomorrow. All right, let's try to work in a few more calls here. Let's go to Louisiana, where Ricky is on the line. Ricky, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. You know, I've been here for 8 years. If we only had a strong Christian conservative, man, we'd have 25 million up to 44 million Christians come out and vote for him. Man, if we just only had. So I'm 6 years old, and Saturday was the first time I ever stood in line to vote in the presidential primary because I was going to vote for the strong Christian conservative, which is Ted Cruz. Duh. Don't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. But then half the 44 million Christians are voting for Trump. I mean, I don't say this lightly, Tony, but all I can say is they're a bunch of deceived fools. To vote for, I mean, the man came out like a week or two. I love money. Money is all, that's everything. All I care about it. All I, love of money is the root of all, I mean, the guy, man, it's just, well, they just deceive. They're deceiving spirits sent forth from hell to deceive Christians not to vote for a strong Ted Cruz, hands down, is 100% for God, country, and family, and yet only half the Christians are voting for him. The other half are like following the Pied Piper of Hamlet, Donald Trump.
It's not only registering. And take a deep breath there, Ricky. I don't want you to run off the road. I agree with you in that. As Christians, we got to be registered, we got to be voting, but we have to vote informed. And I'll go back to what I've said a number of times here, and I'll say it for the benefit of those who are voting tomorrow. When you go to Exodus 18, where Jethro gives Moses, Jethro is his father-in-law, gives him kind of direction on how to select leaders that were going to lead the people. Number one, men who are capable, able. That would have to show that. Kind of like the New Testament principle, the promotion principle, when you're faithful in the small things, you get elevated to the larger things. You have to have some kind of track record. You got to be capable to do this. Second is that they fear God. There's a fear of God upon their lives. Three, they stand in truth. They're men of truth. And then fourth is that they despise greedy gain or they won't take advantage of people for financial gain. Those are important characteristics to look at. Now, we have our voter guide on the policy issues, about 12 policies, tell you where the candidates stand on those issues. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and you can find out. This CNN is just reporting this, that some of Rubio's advisors are pushing for Marco Rubio to drop out before the Florida primary. That's being reported by CNN. Which would make sense, because once we get to the 15th of March, Ohio and Florida, those are winner-take-all. And the best shot, well, I'll leave that for later. All right, let's keep on the phone lines here. Let's go to, Ricky, thank you for that call. Let's go to Marie in Kansas. Marie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. I was registered independent for the longest time because I got so frustrated with the Republican leadership, if you can even call it that, and the candidates they were giving us. But I changed my registration this year back to Republican just so I could vote for Ted Cruz.
Yeah, because it was a closed primary there in Kansas, and you had to be within the party to participate. And Marie, I completely identify with that frustration. You're absolutely right, and I think that's where a lot of people are. They're frustrated with the Republicans who have promised and promised and promised and done very little on those promises. Thank you, Murray, for calling in and for participating and not giving up. I think this country is worth fighting for. We cannot give up. All right. 866-372-7234. Here's from Twitter. Voted last time, now for the first time in a long time, am voting for someone instead of against others. Voting at Ted Cruz. You know, that's an important point, and this is where the primaries, we have an opportunity, whoever you support, and there's been some good people in the primary. But you get a vote for the person that best represents your values and your ideas. Hopefully those are biblical values and ideas. And you don't have to vote for the lesser of two evils. Wait for the, you know, that's usually what we have to do in the general election. You know, and I really don't like how many Christians, and not just Christians, but a lot of people will say, well, you know, such and such is winning. I'm just going to vote for the winner. No, vote for the right candidate. If enough people voted for the right guy, he would be winning. And that's what we've actually seen. The polls, and I'm not sure this is just by accident, the polls have been suggesting that a certain candidate is going to win all these elections. And wow, you know, 20-point margins of a 20-point lead evaporates into a 3-point lead, or a 12-point lead turns into a 25-point lead for the other candidate in the actual voting. Something's not right there. All right, let's work another call here. Let's go to Virginia, where Jeremy is on the line. Jeremy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you taking my phone call. So I did not vote in the last election. I think mainly I just kind of took it for granted that we wouldn't vote the way we did the prior one before that, and thought we would never have another 4 years of Obama, and I guess I just kind of took it for granted. But more importantly for this election, it's just realizing how really important this is to with my individual future. I'm 35 years old, and with the importance of the Supreme Court justices and being able to pick those, possibly two, potentially even three, can affect us for the next 50 years, which is the majority of the rest of my lifetime. And I think that's been one of the biggest issues right now of why I am supporting someone that I feel like I can trust, and not someone that's flip-flopped and supported different parties and made business decisions, which I do agree that we do have some business decisions to make in our country. But I want someone who I know is going to fight for what I believe in, my biblical values, and be able to be in a position to put representatives in place that are going to potentially, you know, hopefully uphold those values as well. And I think that's one thing that I feel like gets overlooked a lot is the Supreme Court justice votes. And I don't know if that's been talked enough either. Well, you guys have, but just in the general public, people don't realize the importance of those votes and what they actually mean to the country over the next, you know.
Yeah, it's every vote counts. In Saturday's contest in the four states in the GOP elections, they were separating Donald Trump and Ted Cruz was, I think, 234 votes. That was all that separated them. It was that close. You know, every vote counts. All right, Jeremy, thanks so much for listening and calling in today. And thank you for participating and being a part of trying to get this nation back on the right track. All right, folks, out of time for today. Sorry we didn't get to the rest of the calls, but here's always tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be back, and I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.